The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Fionn Davenport is with me, the travel journalist and Lonely Planet author. Fionn, where are we going this week in the ultimate guide?
Sydney.
Oh, Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's...
Sorry, do that again?
Please
do it again.
Sydney, Australia. Australia? No.
I'd like to take this moment on behalf of News Talk and Bauer, our parent company, and indeed anybody who has ever worked here or ever will in the future, to all Australians. And anyone of Australian descent.
Who brings her dulcet Australian tones in here every week.
Yeah, but Serena's Australian accent is actually Australian because she's actually Australian.
From Australia.
As opposed to, I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what it was.
Keith and Keem.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Do a New Zealand accent.
Oh, it's even worse. Someone tried to explain to me that the difference between, you can tell, you know it is the way you say fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
Fish and chops.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've never
and
been.
Serena actually complimented that. Once I claimed this and she was like, do it. And then she said, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Fish and chips. Fish and chops.
And you've never been to the
Antipodes. I've never been to the Antipodes.
No.
Although.
Well, it seems, according to the CSO figures, it's like half the country is going to Australia.
Yeah, highest levels of migration to Australia since 2013, since we're mired in recession, which means there might be lots of people listening to this who'd be excited to hear about Sydney.
Yeah.
And parents of people thinking, you know what, we're going to visit Sydney.
Yeah, and you know what, like, leaving aside the economics of it, it's an amazing opportunity. I know at least three people who are heading off to Australia, young people in their 20s, who are going to take out that 2-year visa, I think, or the 1 year with the option to extend. Mm. And, you know, they're excited. They're going with friends. It's a brilliant opportunity to, I mean, like, there's a bittersweet aspect to it, that if you feel like you're pursuing opportunities on the other side of the world, but the other side of the world is pretty gorgeous. And as my friend Eliza, who's from Melbourne, is very, very keen to remind me, whereas Melbourne is the cultural and artistic capital of Australia, Sydney's like the beautiful hairdresser, you know?
All right, okay.
Yeah.
So what are the highlights of this beautiful hairdresser?
Well, I mean, the obvious things, you know, is the Opera House.
Yeah.
Like, it could be the most beautiful building on the planet, certainly the sexiest in a way, just the way the shape of it. It's a magnificent place. The location is magnificent, right at the edge of Sydney Harbour. So the whole of the area around the water there is a national park. So Sydney Harbour National Park. Before we leave Sydney Harbour National Park, the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Distinct. And there's nothing quite says, I'm on the other side of the world, than the ubiquitous photograph taken with the harbour bridge behind you and beautiful skies.
Yes.
And, you know.
But let's get out to Bondi. Is Bondi a highlight?
Yeah, I mean, it's an essential experience.
You have to take off the list.
Yeah, it's like, I think of it as a Sydney's answer to Temple Bar. It's
okay.
I mean, it's a great beach. It's a lovely beach. There are better beaches in Sydney and people have their favourites. But it is kind of like, you can't not. The last time I was, or the second last time I was in Australia, this is a nice thing to do. So, you know, it's a forever flight. So 30 plus odd hours. Mm. So friends of ours who were living in Australia picked my mate and I myself up. And we went straight to Bondi. Jumped in the ocean straight away, which is one of the best ways to clear 30 hours of travel.
Yeah.
Then we had breakfast in one of the cafes that faces onto Bondi. And straight away you're like, okay, now I'm going to be absolutely exhausted for the next week. But what a nice way to start my Australian adventure. Manly, I think, is the nicer beach, but it's further away and you have to get a ferry to get there. It's the second most famous beach after Bondi. Chinatown is amazing. It's like, it's got a fantastic Chinatown. Like, lots of cities have a Chinatown, but Sydney's is really...
And is there a huge Chinese presence in Sydney?
Yeah, so like the Pai Fang, or the big gate that heralds the entrance. It's like, it's really, really nice. Now, it's an amazing place to go eating. Hardly surprising. You've never been. I can't believe you've never been.
Yeah, no, just...
Why not? You're a bit of a homebird.
I haven't been to most places on the planet.
Well, you've been to Vancouver.
Yeah, I know. So I guess when lots of my friends...
I haven't been to most places.
when, I guess when lots of my friends went to Australia and did that whole kind of the, you know, go down through Southeast Asia and get to Australia or vice versa, do Southeast Asia on the way home. I did Canada.
Okay, which instead. Is fine.
Yeah.
Well, Chinatown then segues. So it's a big, because there is a large South Asian population in Sydney, in Australia generally, but in Sydney. So like what you have then is a kind of, so you have Chinatown and then the restaurants kind of morph and it's, you're in Koreatown.
Yes.
And so you've got lots of like Korean fried chicken and Korean restaurants. And then before you know it, it's like, oh, it's Thai town. So it's all Thai restaurants.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and they're all one after another.
Yeah. Kind of
in,
just
generally
all,
in the same
yeah,
part
generally
of Sydney.
In the area. One of the things, and I, because of jet lag, so for the first 4 or 5 days, you're going to be up at an insane hour, usually 3 a.m.
Oh.
Now, if you're staying anywhere close to or in and around the city center, it's a great place to go walking. So what I would do is I would get up and I would just start walking and I'd catch sunset somewhere. And then one of the days when I've had enough of going down to the harbour and seeing the sunrise over the harbour, I went to the fish market.
Oh yeah, what's that like?
Yeah, the fish market. So it's on Blackwattle Bay. So like, imagine this, right? So 15 million kilos of seafood annually. It has outlets, restaurants, sushi and an oyster bar, or multiple sushi and oyster bars, really lovely deli, and this really very well-regarded cooking school. And so like, imagine that you get chefs from like some of the top restaurants, or certainly sous chefs or people who work in the kitchens of some of the top restaurants in the city, excuse me, like haggling over like mud crabs or Balmain mugs or lobster or whatever. So they have this fish auction that starts off at 5:30 a.m. And honest to God, Kieran, it's a sight to behold.
And what about the Botanic Gardens? I've heard people talking about them.
Yeah, so, southeast of the Opera House. So it's like literally backed onto it.
Yeah.
This is like, it's 200 plus years old. And what they do is like in the summertime, so our wintertime, it's an amazing place to go for a picnic. They screen films in the Botanic Gardens.
Yes.
And you can sit on the grass and then they have concerts. And like, it's massive. So you'll need a map. So get a map at the entrance. And then, of course, like, you're a sports fan.
I am.
The SCG.
Oh, the cricket grounds.
Yes, indeedy. It is one of the more beautiful cricket grounds. Whereas in Melbourne, the MCG is a 100,000-seater stadium.
It's huge, but probably not as nice.
No,
is that it?
No, it's massive. And yeah. I've been to the Boxing Day Test, as they call it, on Stephen's Day in Melbourne. But one of the times I went, and my friend Peter, who was living in Sydney at the time, and he's a big cricket fan, so we went to see a one-day international at the SCG. We went to see Australia, South Africa. And it's beautiful in the way that, like, the old cricket grounds of England are beautiful.
Okay.
And they're historic, and the main grandstand has still got the
like
green.
Lords of the Oval or somewhere like that.
Lords of the Oval. And, yeah, that's really, really nice. And, look, I'm going to say, top tips. You asked me about Bondi. Bondi's definitely a must-see, but be sure to go to some of the other beaches, both north and south. Get an Opal card as soon as you arrive for the public transport. Sydney Transport is amazing. It's really, really good. Sunday Transport is really, really cheap. So if you're going to do ferry hopping or anything like that, or go on out-of-town trips, do that. Now, mind you, everyone else knows that. So Sundays can be crazy busy as everyone's taking advantage of cheaper fares. If you want to figure out all of the multiple public transport options, get the TripView app. From June to August, there's some very good hotel deals that have the option to pay for two nights but stay three.
So, okay.
Yeah, which is, I think, is a really good deal. Because Sydney can be quite an expensive city.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, what's the best time of the year to go money no object? What's the best time of the year to go if
no
you want to save a few quid?
Is November through March.
Summer for them.
The summertime.
Yeah.
So it's the holiday time, everything peaks up. So imagine like around Christmas time in Sydney, it's just like everyone's on holidays, people are traveling in, it's the summer, it's just like ridiculously expensive. Certainly, it's one of the more expensive. It's much, much cheaper June to August, so during their winter. Now, one of the things is that like eating out in Sydney is a great treat, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of really, really good restaurants. But equally, they have really good metro-style supermarkets and small grocers with absolutely amazing produce.
Okay.
So it's like, so you can get everything from fresh fruit and veg, but like really good deli treats. So like, instead of going to a restaurant, go to one of these places and get like an amazing kind of gourmet sandwich with like garnish and sides and little thing. Have it in a little box. Go to the Botanic Gardens. And there you go. And you're eating for a fraction of what it might cost you in just even a mid-range restaurant.
I like the sound of that, Fionn.
Yeah. And I mentioned the Opel car. So this, like the Sydney. Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Right. So bucket list trip for people is to, if you're not afraid of heights, is to climb the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yes.
OK. The Pylon Lookout and Museum is really, really good if you don't want to pay the 200 whatever dollars it is to do the climb.
200 quid they charge you to climb a bridge.
It's really, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the other thing is, it's just walk between Milsons Points and The Rock on the pedestrian walkway and it won't cost you a cent. Like, you don't need to get right
like, much like the sandwich. I like the sound of that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, if you're going to pick a place to live, Inner West, obviously, is all the students. The Eastern Beaches is Bondi. Paddy, or Paddo, is where I like. It's elegant, quite leafy. And then Manly in the Northern Beaches. Manly is gorgeous. It's a ferry ride up towards Northern Sydney, but it's very, very nice.
Some of you may be planning a trip to Sydney. Unfortunately, we know today from the CSO that lots of you may be planning to live in Sydney because you can't afford to live somewhere here. So we'll get this up as a podcast so you can listen back and take some notes in terms of places to visit over those first few days and even places to live and places to eat. Fionn Davenport, travel journalist, Lonely Planet author, will be back with the ultimate guide next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.